Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.
As we love to say, Corrections Commissioner Randall Liberty, it's been a hot minute since you've been on our radio airwaves. Welcome back. Not kidding when we tell you this fella called in yesterday. Paul, you recall the fella that called in and said you've got to tell people about Reentry 2030. Maybe the announcement got overshadowed by everything else that was going on in Augusta. But Commissioner Liberty, what is Reentry 2030, sir?
Rick, as always, it's a pleasure to be with you. It may not be a surprise to some, but the Maine Department of Corrections releases about 800 residents back into the community annually. And so we know that in order for them to be successful, they have to have a livable wage, they have to have housing, treatment if they need it, you know, all of those sorts of things. And so, you know, we've been focusing on, you know, vocational programming, treatment for substance use disorder, and housing for quite some time. But Reentry 2030 is a formalized program that brings in all of the assets from state government, Department of Labor, Department of Education, Health and Human Services, University of Maine at Augusta, community colleges, legislators, advocates, housing, specialists. It brings us all together in a formalized way to ensure that individuals are successful upon release. And, you know, and when they're successful, everyone's successful. And so that formalizes that. It's an initiative by the Council of State Governments. And I think, we're a handful of states that have fully implemented this and endorsed by Governor Mills, and critically important for the success upon release.
That was something I learned when digging into Reentry 2030. This is not just a Maine thing. It's going on nationally. From your eyes, Commissioner, where have you looked to other states and said, seems to be doing a good job over there, and we can maybe make it work here?
Yeah, so, you know, in many areas, the state of Maine Department of Corrections is a leader in the industry. And, you know, we look nationally and internationally for best practices. And I think we're the eighth or ninth state that has adopted this. And what I like about it is it really solidifies goals. And one of the goals is zero releases to homelessness. No one should be released from a correctional facility and be homeless. You know, 100% of the individuals that are eligible for Maine Care need to be enrolled 90 days prior to release, so there's no break in continuity. And there are many other goals, but I formalized that and brought everyone together and everybody collaborating so we can get the best outcomes for the residents.
But first state in New England to do it, eighth state in the nation to do it. I also read, this is interesting, the release, preparing for release starting on day one. If I'm understanding this correctly, the idea is that if for some reason someone is brought into the Department of Corrections, the planning begins immediately to see them reach the point where they can be released successfully back into society.
Yeah, that's correct. And so when someone arrives in our care, and let's say they get a three-year sentence, the first thing we do is we establish, you know, sort of a baseline. We do assessments to determine what their needs are. If they don't have a GED or a HISET, that's part of the plan. If they don't have vocational skills, that's part of the plan. If they need programming and treatment for other things, mental health or substance use disorder, that's part of the plan. And what's important here is it's a collaborative approach with the incarcerated Mainer, with the staff from the Department of Corrections, our clinical staff, psychological staff, trades folks. We all kind of come up with a plan collaboratively so that the time that's spent with us is useful and productive, and they don't return. And as a result, we have some of the nation-leading statistics related to return to custody rates. Right now, if someone's released, it's on average 21% return to custody over a three-year period, with comparative to other states that are at 50%. And if you obtain a college degree, and I have 160 individuals that are in college full-time right now in our system, you have a 0.05% likelihood of return. So 99.5% success rate for those that obtain a college degree while incarcerated.
A college degree greatly reduces recidivism that much?
It sure does. It's the number one. It's the most successful program that we have to reduce recidivism. And the University of Maine at Augusta has been engaged with the Maine State Prison for more than 20 years as part of a prison agreement, you know, prison education partnership, first started by Doris Buffett. She gave us $2 million to kick that off and bring professors into the facility. And I have the honor of teaching also at UMA, and often my classes will have, you know, 10 students in my class at UMA. I'll have 8 or 10 that are at home trying to obtain a degree, from, you know, distantly. And then I'll have 4 or 5 that are from the main Department of Corrections who are in the class. And I have 12 graduate students. I have 4 PhD candidates. You know, people really serious about change, about redemption, about a better future for their families. And it really works well for everyone.
We're talking about Reentry 2030 at the suggestion of a listener and talking with Corrections Commissioner Rand DeLiberty. Maine is the first state in New England, the 8th state nationwide to be a part of this program. We want to talk about the goal, the 30%, the 30 by 2030 in a second. But inevitably, here's the question from a listener. They want to know, how much does Maine's participation in Reentry 2030 cost?
Actually, it's a cost savings. There's no additional cost. This is the work that we've been doing, but it formalizes access to programs that exist in other agencies. And so if you want to, you know, invest money and get a return on your investment, this is the best investment you'll have, because if individuals don't get programming, treatment, education while they're incarcerated, they continue to come back. And that's what you see in many other states, coming back at a rate of 50% or more. And it's that's the most expensive, not to treat, not to program, and to have them continue to come back. Because in the state of Maine, we pay about $287 million to house the 2,100 residents in our care. And by providing treatment and program, you prevent that continual return to custody, and you make your community safer. When we talk about a success rate of 99.5%, that means that 99.5% of the time, no additional victims in the community. No additional victims. And so that works really well for us.
Commissioner DeLiberty, you said just a moment ago, what is our current rate of return to custody? What is our current rate of return to custody in our state? Ballpark, I guess.
Return to custody rate is at 21%.
21.
Overall, yeah. And for females, it's 9%. And for college graduates, 0.05%.
Okay. As I understand, Reentry 2030, the goal here, the aim, it's good to have goals. You're working towards something. 30% to raise that, or to reduce returns to custody by 30% by 2030. Tell me how that works.
The way that that works is by continuing to do the work that we know is successful. So if we know that if we bring in the Department of Labor to ensure that they have a livable wage upon return, and we're doing a lot of that work, and that work looks like apprenticeships. So individuals can be an apprentice for carpentry or electrical, or and we have, I think, 23 apprenticeship programs in the Department of Corrections. And we have a commercial driver licensing program up at Mountain View. So those are the kinds of collaborations with the Department of Labor. With the Department of Education, it's all about HISES, GED, associate degree, bachelor's degree. That's the kind of stuff that we do there. Health and Human Services, that might ensure that they have Maine Care upon release so they can be successful. If people are released and they're not prepared and we haven't invested in them, they'll continue to return and they'll continue to harm others in the community. And so this is critically important that we organize all of our efforts in a collective way with clear short-term and long-term goals. And I'm certain of the success of this program.
All right, I got to get out the calculator for this. If our current reduce to return rate is about overall 21%, if I heard correctly, and we want to reduce that by 30%. Mr. Vaughn, my algebra teacher at Belfast Area High School right now, is looking at the radio going, come on, Rick, don't let me down. That would mean that we want to reduce the return to custody. I'm glad you have return to custody, because I often mispronounce recidivism. I'm going to call it that. We want to reduce it 6.3%. So that's going to take us from 21. We want to go from 21% return to custody down to 15% return to custody. I just want to wrap my mind around those numbers. And we want to do it in 3.5 years, because 2030 is just right over there.
That's correct.
That does sound ambitious, Commissioner.
It is ambitious. You know, the business we're in is very important for public safety. It's important for, you know, strong families, strong communities. It's important for redemption. it's a very important industry that we're in. And if we want to have, we are the safest nation in the state, we're the safest state in the nation. And there's a reason for that. There's a lot of organizations, individuals, a lot of people that are working very hard to, create a safe environment. And I think that the establishment, the formalization of Reentry 2030 is a great way to do that.
I look at the barriers, and the one that would concern me most, I'm not saying I'm afraid, the one that concerns me most, I think is housing. Because housing is tough for everyone inside and outside. I mean, arguably, the guys that's on the inside right now, at least they have a house. Housing seems to me to be one of the biggest barriers here, Commissioner.
It is. And so what we've been able to do is, over the last 5 years, is create some transitional housing units. And we have two established now, one in Bangor, one in Auburn, one for males, one for females. And if individuals don't have stable housing on the outside, they can be released to those units for a six-month period, and it allows them to transition back into the community. The other thing we've done that's really nation-leading is we've created an opportunity for people to work remotely from a correctional setting. Hmm. And so you think about this. If somebody is able to obtain a bachelor's degree, and they have one individual is able to obtain a paralegal degree, they were able to apply to a law firm for a job on the outside, working from the inside, and earn a livable wage. And when they do that, they're able to put money in the bank, they're able to pay restitution to the survivors of crime on the outside, they pay taxes both state and federal, they pay room and board to the Department of Corrections because they're earning a livable wage, and they can pay tuition for their children, they can pay their mortgage. And we've done that 45 times where individuals are working from the inside, outside, and that allows them to transition and have money for down payment, for security deposit, for first and last rent, and they're able to transition. So we've seen some great success with remote work, and we can continue to expand that program also.
Holy cow, that is a success story that I think more people would be interested in hearing, especially an employer. Because I wonder still today, Commissioner, if someone comes to them, the help wanted sign is in the window, and someone comes in and says, yes, I'm here, I'm ready to do the job, I've got the skills to do so. Hey, where have you been? Tell me about you. Well, I just got out of the corrections department here in the state of Maine. Instantly, that employer is going to, I don't know, their spidey senses are going to start tingling. What do you say to those employers, especially about someone who can be, I'll say, a graduate of Reentry 2030?
What we can say is that look at the demonstrated success that they've had. If they've been able to, earn a commercial driver's license, if they've been able to earn a certificate in welding, if they've been able to, obtain a master's degree, look at the demonstrated success there. And we've had some really good luck with good fortune with a bunch of employers. And we actually do job fairs inside the facilities, and we've had, full houses of employers looking for individuals to employ. And we also try to target those sorts of skills or trades or professional positions that may be tolerant to somebody that has a criminal background. And that may be, again, some of the trades, carpentry, window restoration, driver's license, commercial driver's licenses, those sorts of things that would have a higher tolerance for people that may have a criminal background. And we've had really good success in transitioning people into civilian employment.
Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at laughlinwolfingtonrealty.com.